I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us on the line today from Cape Town is South African Paralympic and World Championship gold medalist Ilse Hayes. She competes in 400 meters, 200 meters, 100 meters on the track, as well as the long jump. Ilse took up disabled athletics in 2001 and hasn't looked back since. She has won gold, silver, and bronze medals in four Paralympic Games, taking her to Beijing, Athens, London, and Rio, as well as athletics world championships in Lyon, New Zealand, Netherlands, and Doha. In 2013, she was awarded the Order of Ikhamanga for her sporting achievements. In 2015, she received Disabled Athlete of the Year at the South African Sports Awards. And off the track, Ilse has a degree in sports science and honors in pediatric sciences. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really a big honor to have a chat with you guys today.
Starting off, can you please share with us some of the landmarks in your career and when you understood that athletics would be a big part of your future?
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a passion for athletics. So I started, you know, athletics, I think basically at like the age of six, you know, the first race where you run into your mother's arms, like a preschool race. And so I always had a passion for athletics. And I was in a mainstream school, so I competed for my school as well. And when I was 15 years old, because I was in a mainstream school, I wasn't exposed to any disabled events or anything disabled. So like a friend of a friend, contacted my mother, and then she said, listen, but because you also got a visual impairment, she can maybe be eligible to compete at the Disabled Nationals, you know, which is like in a few months. And then, yeah, we like followed the process. I got classified, and I took part in my first disabled competition in 2000, yeah, the year 2000. And yeah, as I say, ever since, you know, I haven't looked back. And yeah, my first Paralympic Games was in 2004, which I've always dreamed about, you know, since I got diagnosed. I was always looking up, you know, all these Paralympic athletes, and that was definitely a dream of mine. I had to compete at that. And yeah, as I say, like the race is history, you know. I've traveled the world, you know. It's been like a massive honor and an amazing journey so far. I mean, seeing the world and meeting amazing people and building relationships with, you know, other athletes from different countries. It's definitely one of my highlights.
So interesting, you said that you started competing in the year 2000 and then you entered into your first Paralympics in 2004. And 4 years is a really short time frame to go into international competition with competing with the best in your class in the world.
Yes, I was I was fortunate, to go in, get like a bit of a insight how it was going to be, because in 2001, I took part in a junior World Chair Games, which is held in Brisbane in Australia. So there it was like more like juniors, you know, like kind of the same age. And then in 2002, I took part in my first World Champs, which is obviously on senior level. So that was like my first, you know, exposure to like a senior event, which was held in Lille in France, where I took part in the 100, the 400 and the long jump. And then, yeah, obviously the biggest stage was the Paralympics in 2004. So I kind of had like a bit of idea how it was going to be, but, you know, you get there to your first game and everything is just massive. You know, it's like all these different sporting codes. And so, I mean, I think nothing can prepare you for your first games. But, yeah, I was definitely fortunate to have two international events before the Paralympics.
I can imagine it must have been incredibly overwhelming. But now, 16 years down the line since you first started, can you tell us, out of all of the events that have taken place thus far, which would have been one of your most memorable competitions?
I definitely think my Paralympics in 2008 at the Beijing Games. I took part in the 100, the 200 and the long jump, but my favorite event has always been the long jump. But I've been, I was the kind of underdog because at the previous World Champs in 2006, I think I ended up fifth, and I was like fifth on the world rankings, and so no one really kind of expected me, you know, to end up with a gold medal. But I just remember like walking onto the track, I was just, I was so calm and I was collected, and I had like 6 perfect jumps, every jump counted, and I just had fun out there, you know. It was just like one of those, not like carefree events, but yeah, I just had fun out there, you know. And then obviously everything came together, and I ended with a gold medal. So yeah, I think that definitely was one of our memorable competitions. And with that, I had the honor of meeting late President Nelson Mandela, because all the medalists had an opportunity to go visit him at his house. And definitely that's also, you know, one of my highlights of my life.
It sounds fantastic, particularly going through from having the win and then being able to celebrate it with none other than Tata Mandela. And what would you say has been the proudest moment on the track to date?
Well, you know, London 2012, that was quite a tough Paralympic Games for me, because I had a big quad injury. I had like a 7-centimeter muscle tear going into the game. So obviously we managed the injury as best we could, but I had the long jump, the 100 meters the day before my main event, which was the long jump, and I had the privilege of defending my title. And with the long jump, your most important muscle for the takeoff is your quad muscle. So I was like in incredible pain, you know. Obviously, like the injury got worse after the semi and the final with 100. I just had the self-belief that it was part of God's bigger plan for me. So, you know, with every jump, I took it and I just believed that, yeah, as I said, it was part of God's bigger plan for it. And I was very close to the world record like a few weeks before the games, actually at the event where I injured my muscle. And, yeah, I just had this belief that I was going to break the world record. And yeah, like even till the last jump, you know, because how the sequence work is, all the girls already had their last jump, because I was ranked number one, so I had the last chance of taking my last jump. And even then, I knew that I already won the the event, but still, I went out there and I still did my last jump with the torn quad. And yeah, my doctor asked me the next day, "But why did you do it?" And I was just like, you know, I really believed that I could break it. So obviously it was like a self-belief and adrenaline mix. But I think that was like a really proud moment for me to actually, you know, push through that pain and to follow your dream. Because it's always been a dream of mine to break the world record. I didn't break it, but, I gave it my best shot.
That was going to be my next question, to see if you had managed to break it again.
Yes, no. Unfortunately not. Yeah.
But as you said, records are there and they're meant to be broken, because that's what excels and keeps us building on to the next level. And I will ask you a question a little bit later in the conversation about that. Now, all of the traveling that you've done, you represent South Africa internationally. How do you feel representing your country?
I mean, every time, you know, that you step out there with the green and gold, it's really a privilege, because you're never going to know, you know, if you have the chance to do it again, you know. And I think, as I said, like from a young age, when I got diagnosed at 11, and yeah, getting to know, you know, like something about the Paralympics and disabled sports, it's always been a dream of mine, you know, to walk out there and to represent your country. And I think the best feeling with that is actually to be on the podium and to sing your national anthem. You know, I think that's really proudest moments of my career, you know, the privilege of standing on the podium and like all the sacrifices and everything that's going through your mind, and you just know that there's so many people back home from South Africa that's behind you, that's supporting you. It's like a really big privilege and an honor for me to represent my country every time.
It must be a fantastic feeling. And as an international Paralympic sportswoman, you've reached the top of your game, you are a role model, and you in fact are demonstrating to many women and girls in South Africa, and indeed across the continent, that with that combination of hard work, personal sacrifice, pushing through the physical pain, having the mental endurance, that everything can be achieved. How do you perceive this responsibility of being a role model?
I think it's like a very big privilege, and I think it's a big responsibility, you know, because, I also look up to some people, but, I mean, we are human, so we can obviously disappoint. But I think my biggest goal, you know, starting with the Paralympics and starting actually, like, with athletics is, I want to go out there and I want to inspire. You know, I want to give hope to the hopeless, and to show men and women out there, you know, that anything is possible. You know, that that God gave you a talent, and then you must just go and trust in His plan and go and live it. So I mean, yes, I mean, it's a massive honor. You know, people come to you and say, "Listen, you're such a role model," and you know, that's why. Yeah, I mean, I take it, you know, every day. I want to be the best version of myself. So, yeah, when I just want to think about the little girl that is looking up to me and she wants to, you know, also be like an athlete or, yeah, and I mean, I think it's my responsibility to really show her that it's possible, you know, like through hard work, as you said, perseverance, anything is possible.
And you're living proof of that. That really is one of the hardest challenges of being a role model, is living up to these expectations and responsibilities and being able to inspire younger generations.
Yeah, definitely.
Today, we're talking to South African Paralympic and World Championship multi-gold medal athlete Ilse Hayes.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. Today, we're talking to South African Paralympic and World Championship multi-gold medal athlete Ilse Hayes. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment of the conversation, Ilse took us on a journey through her career, starting out in 2000, some of her experiences at the Paralympic Games in Beijing in 2004, then in London in 2012, and she also spoke to the effect of the importance of being a role model, of being able to give hope, to give inspiration, demonstrate that everything is possible, and that people actually have a responsibility to utilize their talents and apply them, and to aim to be the best versions of themselves. Ilse, staying with the sporting theme, competing with some of the most successful athletes in your specialization and participating at the forefront of international competition has given you unparalleled insight into what it takes to get to the top, but more importantly, on how to stay there. So given your experiences, can you tell us what you've learned about your own endurance, about personal limits?
Yes, I think, yeah, I mean, I've had like an amazing journey. And I think what is really important to have like a goal, you know, to work towards, you know, and I think to wake up every morning and to, as I said, like I live by this mantra of being the best version of myself every day. So I'm challenging myself to be there, to be that. And I think like, through the years, you know, I've just learned to, yes, you must have goals, but also that you must actually compete limitless. You know, that that you should have like expectations and dreams and that. But you know, that's really important to actually just go out there. And to expect the unexpected, you know, because anything's possible. So, yeah, like humanly, we can do everything that we can. We can train hard. We can do everything in our diets and our recovery. But at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, the plan is already put out there for you. You know, you must just go and live it. And I think sometimes we surprise ourselves, you know, if we don't have focused goals and, you know, like you must rather like just go through the process, you know, and not to have, you know, all these, you know, high expectations, but just to go out there and just to live it, you know. And I think, yeah, that's like taught me quite a lot, is to just go out there and to be in the present, you know. Yeah, and just to enjoy what you do.
I think that's an interesting view, because often we all have these predefined targets that we want to go out, strike, aim for and achieve. And it's not to say that that's not what you're doing, but you're almost going one step further and considering the environment, and it almost seems as though you're going beyond what you had initially aimed to achieve.
Yes. Yeah, as I say, like, obviously, you know, everything doesn't always go according to the plan, but that's why, yeah, that's why there's hope and there's dreams. Yeah, and I really think, you know, I mean, I've been surprised with some events, not expecting, you know, to maybe break the world record, but then, you know, I did it, you know. So, yeah, it just kind of shows that if you, just go out there and you just enjoy and live it, then anything's possible.
And speaking about possibilities, what words of advice or encouragement would you share with upcoming athletes?
No, I always tell the tell people that I think it's really important to know that nothing must stand in your way. Like, people mustn't come to you and say, "Oh, you're not going to be able to do this, or you're not going to be able to achieve this." And no one is actually responsible for that except yourself. You know, so you're the only one that is going to determine, am I going to achieve it or not? So yes, there's talent involved, and there's, you know, all of that, opportunities and all of that, but you know, if you just focus on what you love, you know, and what you want to achieve, then anything is possible. As I said, and just to believe in yourself. And obviously, it's important to have dreams and you know, like goals. You know, what you want to reach, like one day, and like something that you have to work towards. Because I think that's really important. That it mustn't just be out there. Yeah, maybe I want to run a bit. You know, say that I want to run like at the top level, because then that gives you motivation to get there, you know. And yeah, I mean, God gave each and every one a talent, you know, so it's really important to go out there. And if sport is your talent, then you must do everything in your power to fulfill that, you know. I think that's really our responsibilities as humans, to really make the most of what our gifts are, you know. Like, we were obviously given something that we're good at, and you must, like, you know, investigate that. What is that gift? And then you must pursue in that. I think that's really important.
And I often find that there's many parallels in life. You could be working in one environment. It could be business. It could be academic studies. It could be in the sports space. So one of the questions that I'd like to ask you is, do you find that some of those same principles, which we've just been speaking about now from the point of view of self-belief, having dreams, having that hope, single-minded focus, if some of these principles and insights can relate and apply to both business and life in general?
Yes, I think if we look at, you know, like something a bit different is for example, perseverance and dedication, you know, that you must really work hard, you know, and to persevere to be successful. I mean, that can be in general and in business. I mean, time management, you know, I mean, you know, with athletes, you can't just, you know, rock up, you know, like whenever you want, and then, you know, think you're going to achieve something. So you must, yeah, I mean, time management is really important. And I think it's, you know, the way that you manage uncontrollables. I mean, some days it's going to be rain, some days it's going to be wind. But you have to deal with those changes, you know, and the same in life. Also, you're going to get thrown curveballs, you know, in like the corporate environment. Everything's not always going to be how you expect it. So, you know, like, just to make those adjustments, and also to rely on your support system. You know, I think in athletics, obviously, it's like it's an individual sport, but you obviously have your teammates and your friends and your family that support you. And, you know, maybe you get like in a corporate environment or in life, you know, where you need to work with people, you know, and that actually, that's also maybe like one of the principles that, that can be a value, you know, in the business world and in life as well.
I think those are all totally apt examples, from time management to being able to manage those uncontrollables, and the importance of a support system and structure that is reliable and cohesive in terms of what it wants to achieve. One of the things that I read about you when I was doing research for the interview, which really speaks to your spirit and is perhaps best described by an answer that you gave to Newsweek before you left for Rio regarding your Ukrainian rival, and I believe her name is pronounced Leyla Adzamatova, who broke your record, and where you said, "Records are there to be broken. So it was never mine. We will definitely meet again. So now I'm excited to hopefully take that record back." Can you please share with us where you draw your inspiration from?
Yeah, I think that's like one of the most exciting things about the Paralympic movement currently is, you know, it's like really going from strength to strength each year. And yeah, it's just making, you know, like the victory so much more valuable. You know, you know that you're competing against the best, you know, in the world. And so many governments and so many organizations are they're investing more in their Paralympic athletes. So the standard of competition is really high. So, yes, I mean, I said, you know, like records are on there to be broken. I mean, they are there to be broken. And she did break my world record. And, yeah, I mean, then, you know, I mean, I knew about this, you know, since May, because it's the first time that I ever competed against her. And, you know, I just had to go back and to challenge myself, you know, like to work harder. And, you know, in the times that you're, you know, the session is really tough and, you know, whatever, you can just, you know, push yourself and just to say, but, you know, I want that record back. So, which means that I need to be a better athlete, you know, I need to train harder. So that kind of, you know, motivated me to become a better athlete. And also, you know, what people ask me, you know, what motivates me. And I think, you know, that feeling of euphoria and satisfaction when you stand on the podium and you sing a national anthem, you know, just that feeling kind of, it really is something that drives me because I want that again. You know, I want to have that feeling of satisfaction again. So, yeah, then obviously, you know, you just wake up in the morning and, you know, you say, well, you know, I'm going to give everything that I can in my gym session, in my training, my recovery, because I want to be a better person. I want to be a better athlete. And I think, yeah, that really is something that drives me and keeps me motivated.
It's fairly unique. You know, when we think of achievements, often we always want the sort of the tangible outcomes, so getting the medal or getting the promotion. But really, it's what you're talking about. It's getting that feeling of euphoria, that satisfaction when you're standing up on the podium, that it's all been worth it and people can feel it. So it's almost an intangible.
Yes, and I mean, like before our 2012 Paralympic Games, our coach asked us, what would be like for me a successful London 2012 Games? And I said to her, well, I mean, definitely 2 gold medals, you know, before I even, you know, thought about it. And, you know, like, as I was, you know, going through the journey towards the Games, I just realized that, you know, like, you're not in control of the outcome, you know, of the game. So, like, you just, like, shifted from winning medals to actually making memories, you know. And as soon as I made that change, it took, like, the pressure off. And, you know, the medals are a bonus. I mean, they're going to lie in your cupboard or, you know, they can be up the walls. You know, and they maybe gather dust, like in a few years, 20 to 50 years from now. But those memories that you've made along the way, no one can ever take that away from you. Yeah, so that's also something that's like really important for me. As I've grown as an athlete, you know, so obviously in the beginning it was nice to have those medals, but now it's more about building relationships and, you know, the memories and, as you say, like all those intangible things.
Many athletes have got mottos or sayings that they live their lives by. Do you have one?
Yes, I think I mentioned before that I challenge myself to live every day, you know, to be the best version of myself. So that's really something that I want to live by. And yeah, I mean, it's been working for me, you know, like to challenge myself every day.
I think that that's almost more important than being challenged by external forces. It's when you can drive that spirit in yourself and to keep challenge yourself that you persevere and just keep pushing through.
Yeah, definitely.
Today we're talking to South African Paralympic and World Championship multi-gold medal athlete Ilse Hayes.
Hi, this is Lira, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. Today, we're talking to South African Paralympic and World Championship multi-gold medal athlete Ilse Hayes. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment, Ilse shared with us some of the insights which can apply both from sporting environment through towards the corporate sector as well as into personal lives, ranging from time management through to managing the uncontrollable elements that occur, through to relying on solid support systems. Ilse, you recently returned from the 2016 Paralympic Games in Rio, Brazil, where you won 2 silver medals, which is extremely impressive. And that leads me to my next question. What's next for you? What are your plans for the future?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's amazing coming back. You're on a high. So obviously you need to come back and, you know, sit and ask, you know, what is next? So for me, it's World Champs, which is in July next year. That takes place in London. So I think it's going to be really exciting to go back to the Olympic Stadium, where obviously I have amazing memories from there. And then that's also going to be the place where I am hanging up my spikes. So I'm ending my career at World Champs next year. Definitely I've got like a few exciting, you know, projects and stuff lying ahead that I'm really excited about. One of them is starting a family. So that's basically the main reason why I'm ending my career is to give 100% into my next chapter of my life, you know. And I'm really excited about that. I've got like a furniture venture that I want to start getting up and running. I studied pediatrics, exercise science. So that entails like motor development with children. So that's also something that I want to pursue and maybe like, you know, give back for like community projects and get involved with that as well. I'm really going to miss athletics. But as I say, like, you know, there's going to be a start and a finish, you know, for everything. And I've had an amazing career and I don't regret, you know, any decisions that I've ever made. I think it's time for something, different and something new. And I'm really excited about that.
Well, it's quite a contrast from a point of view of understanding that within the athletic space, that people really have time constraints. It's not a career that will last a lifetime. So I will be sad that 2017 will be the last that we see of you on the track. But obviously, you're going into a new chapter of your life, which will be incredibly fulfilling.
Yes, I mean, definitely. And I think... you know, my husband's been incredibly supportive. I mean, you know, he was also a sportsman, so he knows exactly what it takes, all the hours and the dedication, and I'm away a lot. And, he sacrificed a lot. So, I think it's, you know, time for us also maybe just to do stuff that you know, we want to do on our time. I think that's also really important. As I say, like, it's been amazing, and I don't, you know, regret any of it.
And given all of your investment into the current career, which is now coming to an end, one of the questions that I ask all my guests who've made tremendous achievements in their respective fields of expertise is about the factors that have contributed towards their success. Some speak about hard work, others talk about perseverance. For some, it may be the impact of a particular person in their lives. Can you please share with us what, in your opinion, have been the key drivers to your success?
I really think it's the support. I think I wouldn't have been able to, you know, to be here. For example, if it wasn't for my parents, you know, when I was little, I got diagnosed when I was 11, and they've just been the most amazing support. You know, they, and at that stage, it was obviously difficult for me and for them, you know, because we didn't know really what the future's going to hold, but they never treated me any different than before I was diagnosed. And I think that really helped me to really accept, you know, that I am a bit challenged now with my vision, but I'm still, you know, treated normal, like nothing's changed in terms of that. And, I've got an amazing training group. We six of us went to Rio now, and amazing coach. And, you know, although it's like individual sports, you know, we are like this really tight-knit family, you know, and I think, yes, I'm going to miss athletics, definitely, but I think I'm going to miss them more. You know, the fact that I'm not going to see them every day, I'm not going to share all these memories with them and, you know, build character with them. I think that's going to be like the biggest challenge for me is not being able to, to pursue, you know, like my future with them. And definitely my husband. I think that's also like one of my, you know, biggest supporters. And, you know, he's always a guy that looks at the glass half full. So even whenever I'm a bit down, I'm having, you know, like a bit of doubts, then he's always the one to, you know, to carry me and to just, you know, build me up and to encourage me and to motivate me. So, yeah, I think we're like a really good combination in terms of that. And I mean, definitely, you can't do this without passion. You know, that's also quite a big drive of mine. And as I said, like my passion is athletics. And with that, it is to inspire people and to give hope. So, you know, whenever I'm tired or I feel, you know, I can't do this anymore, then I just think of all the people that, you know, if it's maybe just one or two people that I actually touch, you know, with, you know, my perseverance and overcoming obstacles, then I need to do it. You know, it's my responsibility to be strong for those people. And with passion it goes fun. You know, you need to have fun. I mean, if you don't enjoy it, then it's going to be really difficult to wake up in the morning and go for training, or, you know, if it's like rainy outside, not to be tempted to just stay in bed with a cup of coffee. So I think those are all really massive contributors to my successful career so far.
And we've spoken about the role modeling effect from your point of view and on what you're giving back to others and how you're managing to inspire people. But who would you say have been female role models in your life?
Yeah, I think if I can think about three, then, my mother's definitely one of my role models because, you know, she's always put, like, our needs, because I have a brother that's 2 years older than I am, and she's always put, like, her needs in front of ours, you know, and has really been a great example of just, you know, giving back, you know, like, you know, giving of your time, giving, you know, whatever you have and others don't, then, you know, like, just to give to them. So that's like something that that she really taught me, because she's got a really big heart. And another one is my coach. She's Suzanne Ferreira. So I've been with her since 2005. She's really like played a big role in the person that I am today. You know, the questions she asks me and, you know, the things that I must go ponder about, you know, there's a real question that's actually shaped and built my character, you know, through, not just on the athletic track, but also, you know, off it, you know, spiritually and just like, just in life in general. She challenges a lot, you know, like she encourages us to keep like a journal where we can monitor our training and, you know, challenge our own beliefs. And, you know, she always, you know, asks us, even like in different seasons. I mean, I can be, you know, from one year to the next, I can be like in different season in my life. But she always comes back to the question of why you do stuff. If it's about money or like external stuff, then if those things are taken away, you know, what's going to be left? So you need to get like something from inside, you know, that really challenges you and motivates you to get up in the morning. You know what I mean? So that's what I said, like from the beginning when I competed, it was my goal was to inspire people, you know, so it wasn't like making the most money or, you know, getting exposure in the newspapers, or those things aren't important for me, you know what I mean? So that's not like the legacy that I want to leave behind. So I think my coach really helped with that, you know, like to just change your view a bit. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really blessed to have her in my life. And Sherri-Anne Fraser-Pryce, the Jamaican sprinter, you know, I always look up to her. And, I mean, every time that she goes onto the track, she has this massive smile on her face, and you can just see that she's really enjoying every moment, you know, that that she's on the track. And, you know, what really inspires me about her is the way that she grew up. You know, she had, like, a really difficult childhood, and now she's in a position that she can give back, you know, to the girls in her community that, you know, is also struggling with the things that she was struggling with. So I think that's really, inspires me that, that she stood out, you know, given her circumstances and made a success of her life. And now, she's giving back to all the girls in Jamaica.
Well, thank you for sharing who your role models have been and also, importantly, how they've influenced and shaped you. Unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the show. So if I could ask you, please, as we close off, if you could share a few words of inspiration which you would like to pass on to girls and women in Africa who are listening to us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And it's a massive opportunity for me to, to share my story. And, I think it's really important for each one out there to really live your dream. I think it's really important to give every second of your day, just to try and be a better person, try and be better than you were yesterday. So, to challenge yourself in terms of that. And I think I've mentioned before, but it's really important that nothing must stand in your way to achieve your dream. Someone mustn't be negative or say you can't achieve this, you can't do this, because as I've mentioned, every person receives a talent from God, it's really important to go figure out what that is, to really dig deep and to ask yourself, listen, but what am I good at? It might be in culture, it might be in academics, it might be in sports. On this planet, there's a place for you, and there's a reason why you're put on Earth. And you must really go and discover what that is. And then you must you really excel in that, we're alive and, we were given talent. So I think it's our responsibility to live that to the fullest, and to make the most of what God gave you. And just to encourage, each woman out there, to really be strong, there's a reason why you were put on this earth, and you mustn't feel like inferior maybe because of a gender issue or something like that. Just to go out there and to be strong, to be strong for all the sisters out there, just to embrace life and to be in the moment. I think that's really important, not to fear what's going to happen tomorrow, what's happening, next month or next year, but just really to be in the moment and to be aware of where God wants to use you. I think that's really important, yeah.
Well, thank you for that wonderful message and particularly emphasizing that everyone has a reason for being. It's been a pleasure having you on our show, and we really appreciate you taking the time out to share your story, and we wish you all the very best in the next leg of your journey.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was really a pleasure to share my story with you. I can just encourage all the women out there, just to live life.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, and we have been talking to South African Paralympic and World Championship multi-gold medal athlete Ilse Hayes.